Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. So many Paisleys, so few pennies. Such a strange arcade. How are you? Happy Wednesday. Today is July already, of 2025. And oh, what a July it is. Scorching outside. Oh my goodness. So scorcheroo. But isn't that how it's supposed to be? Is it supposed to be balmy? Is it supposed to be a cool breeze? Nah, not around here it ain't. So, there you are, and there it is. And here I am, and there you are, wherever you may be, if you're listening in the future. Flying cars yet? Safe flying cars. All right, so what's going on? Huh, to those of you who wrote, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. And thank you for your note on the 1-2 site. Mark actually took a screenshot of it and sent it to me, because that's the type of friend Mark is. I don't get on that site very often because I don't, not that technologically savvy. I'm an old man. Yep, back in the West, back when I was on the wagon train, I used to cook for him. Yep, that was me. Not that me anymore, but mini-me now. But anyway, so talking about Tarot last week, I'm going to talk about Tarot some more. Seeing people like that particular subject, and it is something I happen to know something about, something, therefore a little more than some. But yeah, because I've studied it for all my life. But I thought it might be fun to talk some more about Tarot. I never know what people really want to hear about. They rarely want to hear about the flotsam and jetsam of my consciousness, although sometimes that's all I can talk about. But today I would like to talk some more about Tarot. That's right. You can call it Tarot. You can call it Tarot. You can call it Tarot. You know, it's kind of just a made-up word, I think. People call it the Royal Path, and, you know, in France, they play Tarot pretty heavy duty. They actually have a Tarot Federation, and they play it as much as bridge is played in this country, and I think bridge is still played a lot. When I was a younger man, much younger, holy cats, I was like 19, 18 or 19, I got in with some rather perverse people who played bridge. They weren't perverse other than just the bridge playing, but they taught me how to play. I said, I don't know how to play the game. Well, we need a fourth, so you're going to learn to play bridge. So they taught me the essence of the game, but not the strategy or any of that other stuff. And then they became incredibly angry with me when I couldn't do it right. But that's okay. It was trial by fire. And it was just, and they were real hardcore players too. I mean, they'd say things like finesse and grand slam. And I was the dummy an awful lot, even when I wasn't the actual dummy. But I was, kind of annoyed. And still, that was many, many years ago, my first year of college in California. That was a great year. That was a fun year of college and a fun year in general, and even though I wasn't even a major. But that's a different story. So we'll talk some more about Tarot and things about Tarot that maybe you don't know. Maybe you do know. But if you do know, then Hopefully I won't bore you too much. But this is stuff that most people really don't get into, because not all of them, not all the people who study Tarot are as completely insane as I am. I don't know how complete I am, but whatever. First, I want to talk about that today is the first quarter of the moon. And just to think about that, today is the first quarter of the moon. Well, for me, the first quarter is about ambition. It's about saying, you know what? I want to make some plans, and I'm going to be optimistic about it. I saw someone on the television the other day, and they were talking about ambition. You know what television is in Egypt? They call that El Television. There it is. There you got it. Now you can speak Arabic. Arabic 101. As if I know very much. Yeah, my parents spoke Arabic in the house, which did not mean that I could speak Arabic, but I could understand it because they spoke it to me. So if pressed, I could speak back often, you know. But that wasn't pressed, because they didn't care if I spoke back or not. As a matter of fact, they didn't want me talking back to them. Don't you talk back to us, you know, you whippersnapper, you sniping. What is that? A sniping, decking, sniping. I don't know what the word is. But anyway, so there was someone talking about optimism and being optimistic and how optimists live longer. And I realized, listening to all that, that I am indeed an optimist. Well, I hope I live longer. But I am indeed an optimist. And I like being an optimist. And I think it's a good way to be. I've been an optimist my whole life. Even though things haven't always been easy. Have things always been easy for you? Why, probably not. But even though they haven't always been easy, I think it's always good to look at kind of the sunny side. Keep your sunny side up. Let your laughter come through. Do. Right? Though you might have 9 suns in a row, baseball teams make money, you know. It's a song. I may have butchered part of it, but it's there somewhere. I probably owe someone some money. I don't think so. I hope not. I don't have any money, so it makes it easy. Makes it easy. Politics. Yes, I follow politics. Politicians. Yeah, I follow them somewhat. I try not to pay too much attention, because they're all out of their minds. Just out of their minds. What in the world are they thinking? And here we are, the hoi polloi, you know, the great unwashed, that's what that means. And even though I do wash, I mean, you know, it's kind of a good thing to do. But, and they sit in there. I don't think their towers are ivory anymore, now that ivory's on the endangered list. And they sit in their towers. made of something, money, I guess. There are ivory towers, they're paper towers, they're Bitcoin towers, whatever, they're corruption towers. And decide the fates of millions, you know, with very little of forethought. But that's how, who cares? Shut that up, Mo. Shut that up. You know, back in the pandemic, that horrible time, I immersed myself into the Grateful Dead. And it served me well. I did pretty good with that. I listened to a lot of the Dead because I am, in fact, a deadhead. And in more ways than one, I've been told, especially my wife will say, you know, I don't think there's anything going on up there. And yeah, I did that. And this time I'm finding that what I'm immersing myself into are videos, music videos of the 80s. And so I'm going to do a podcast about that, music videos of the 80s that I like. And because they really are helping me to kind of keep my head afloat. Now, why you'd want a floating head when the rest of you isn't floating, I don't know. But that's why kind of what I'm doing. So, and you know what I'm finding that my favorites are so far? You're going to have to just sit tight. The Go-Go's. I love the Go-Go's. There's something about them. And of course, they're about my age now, you know, but back then they were also about my age and a little bit younger than me. And their music, they're a fantastic band. They were just about as, they were really a good band. And the music was, for the most part, pretty upbeat and absolutely pertinent, in my opinion. And so anyway, I'm going to do, I think, a podcast on that just to get it out of my head. My podcast is called Out of Moe's Mind. If you're interested in the weirdness of my mind, then you can find it anywhere. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple, it's on Google, it's on Pandora, it's on everything. It's probably not well known. People do listen to it, so that's cool. But it's everywhere. And it's free, you know. I don't even ask for donations. I guess they're trying to talk me into that. Maybe I should do that. please. Anyway, so let's talk some more about Tarot, because it's a subject that I am pretty much in love with. So when we talk about Tarot, one of the things that occurs to me is someone said to me, you know, he was a mathematician and he was a scientist and he was talking about the randomness of a shuffled deck. And he said, you know, the deck is shuffled and it's random and it's this and that and it's the randomness of the deck and it's how can you, this deck can't work. And I've realized over the years, and I really didn't care about what he said because I didn't care about his opinion. And when you do what we do, when you work with Tarot or astrology or the I Ching or anything else, you don't care about the opinions of others when they're trying to ballyhoo or screw with your thoughts. Because frankly, it doesn't matter what they think. Because we didn't ask for their opinions, did we? I didn't. But they're more than willing to throw things in. I once was talking to a fellow who was throwing things in about Galileo and Newton and this and that. And it was just, I just didn't have the heart to tell him that Galileo was an alchemist and believed in astrology completely, and that Galileo, or Newton rather, did I say Newton? Yeah. And that Galileo was now an astrologer and taught medical rectification of charts at Pisa, you know, and that Kepler was also an astrologer. You don't want to do that to these people because they don't know what to say. And then they say, well, that was because that was believed at the time. And then you say, well, maybe what you believe is believed at the time, you know, but it doesn't do any good because they're coming at you, you know, flailing with their teeth and claws, and sometimes Santa's as well. And they're just doing what they know. And it doesn't, you never win an argument like that. And you're not going to win an argument. So I have a tendency to just go, I think you're right. That's pretty darn good, feller. How could I have been so really stupid? You know, and get it over with. Let them have their little fun. Let them beat their chest, you know. You're very strong and very popular. You know, and get it over with. But the truth is, randomness is the power of any oracle, other than astrology, of course. It's the power of any oracle, because every card forms a different part of the story, unique to every moment. Think about that. You can ask any question anytime you want, in any way you want, and because of the concept of randomness, you can just ask a question, you know, and say, all right, because of the idea of something being random, you can ask that question and be assured that you will get a unique outcome. Well, you say, well, what are the odds on a 3-card draw? Well, with a 78-card deck, which is what most tarot decks are, a true tarot deck that we use for divination. Well, most, you can use any deck you want. I mean, it's up to you. But the way you figure out those odds is this way. 78 cards. You take 78. So let's say you're going to set down 3 cards. You're going to shuffle up the deck, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to lay down 1 card, then another card, and another card. Doesn't matter whether you lay down 1 card, shuffle up the deck, cut the deck, lay down another card, whatever you want to do, just lay them down, blop, blop, blop. You take 78 times 77 times 76. That's the mathematics behind it. How many different ways are there to get numbers? How many different possibilities are there? How many different three-card combinations can you possibly get? Well, this is pretty cool. It's 456,456 possibilities. I'll repeat that for those of you in the back row who are doodling, Mr. Abdelbaki. It's 456,456 possible three-card combinations. And them's is the math. So with that possibility, there are times when I've drawn tarot cards and gotten the same three-card combinations. Now, either the cards are crimped, in other words, they're bent in a way that you're going to cut to the same cards every time, in which case, it's time for a new deck. Now, since I print my own cards, and they ain't cheap when you do that, I'm very careful with my cards. My cards are not crimped. I'm very careful not to crimp them up. But you could certainly do that if when you let other people shuffle and cut your cards. Okay? So when anyone ever says to you, it's just a random thing, you should say, of course it is. And there's the strength in it. Okay? You got that? All you have to do is 78 times 77 times 76. Show that to someone on a calculator sometime. It doesn't spell out a funny word, but it gives you that fantastic number of 456, 456. Very, very cool. All right? All right. That's a feast for the mind, don't you think? I do. The key to reading tarot or any divination is to allow your thoughts, right, to create a story. Each card is an actor in that story, is a part of that story, is part of the story arc. Okay, remember, you are the gifted one, not the cards. The cards are pieces of paper. They tell a part of the story. I saw someone on Wheel of Fortune last night. Yes, we watch that in this house. I tolerate that in this house. I just sit down. I'm usually doing something else. Right now, I'm drawing and redrawing and fine-tuning cards for a solitaire game I'm working on, which maybe I'll make available to others. I don't know yet, but I'm still fine-tuning everything. And lady said that she had just taken up tarot card reading, and she calls herself a taroperist, I think is how she put it, rather than a therapist. She uses tarot cards in therapy. And I don't think she's a therapist to begin with. I think she has another job, or she quit her job. And she said, I don't read the future. I never look at the future. And I thought, cop out. You can't hardly use the cards without seeing something coming, because that's what they do. They have a way of tipping their way into what's on the horizon. They look at what's happened. She's going to find that out. Basically, what she's trying to say is that she is a very wise person, and that she's helping friends and you know, that sort of thing. But if she does it for long, she's going to start getting blown away by the power of the oracle. You can't help it. You just can't help it, because it begins to freak you out, because it tells you things that you should not know. That's the nature of, or, and then you just accept it and you say, well, this works, right? It's not the cards. It's the process. We have the ability to see beyond whatever it is that is right here, okay? Now, today I'd like to talk about something that's one of my favorite subjects, and that's the elemental forces. Let's call them just elementals and elements. I was watching a show last night, a new show. It's called Smoke. It's about an arson investigator. My wife happened on it. We watched it, and this guy's trying to, he said, fire is, and he finally came to it, an organism. And I thought, that's almost right, but it's not quite right. Fire, as all the other elements are intelligences. And I know that sounds kind of far out. It actually is quite far out. We, and people like Aleister Crowley and other metaphysicians, occultists, understood that there is a brain behind everything. Maybe it's one brain that's split into many others, but there are personalities behind different concepts of the universe. And we have split them, because it's much easier for us, into, let's say, four main elements. There is a fifth, and that is the combination of the four. And I told you last week, if you're listening, that that's the quintessence, which means the fifth element, the quintessence, and that's spirit. But for our purposes, we talk about the four, and those are fire, water, air, and earth. And really, they are not the essences, the elements as we know them. And that takes a while to get used to, that they are much more than that, much more than that. But once you begin to get the hang of what they are, then it makes sense. But for now, you needn't worry about it. You can think about them as they are. And that the four suits of Tarot, the wands, the cups, the swords, and the discs, are representations of those four elements. And I've always found most Tarot books that say wands are about enterprise and or whatever, you know, and that sort of thing. And cups are about love, and swords are about difficulties and whatever, and discs are about business. To be really unfair to the readers who really would like to learn something, who would like to know something about the art, because it's an art. Any form of divination is art and science. There is an art to it, and there is a science to it. And when you put those two together, you form something so incredible that it just kind of, it's really a feeling. A feeling that is so beautiful, so wonderful, that you never want to live without that in your life. Trust me. When you hit it properly, it's like, oh, I love this feeling, right? And when people are insincere, the art of divination will flush you out. Or you can make $1 million or $10 million doing it, but you'll be without the depth and the joy of the actual thing. I would much rather, you know, struggle a bit and do the job and do it for a lot of people. You know, there was a very famous very famous reader, and this very famous reader charged $1,400 an hour for her services. This is back 30 years ago. $1,400 for a reading. And I believe this person was a flake. I never had a reading, but from what I heard, it was like, wow. And it was hit and miss at best. And someone said they were going to get a reading from this person's son, who was only 700, or was it 650, or it was like half the price. Half the price. They said, I wonder why he only charges half the price. And I said, because he's only half crazy. And you know, that got a laugh. But it's you know, you got to work up to it, I guess. But the whole point is that there is that entire realm of our world that is based upon chicanery, shenanigans, that I'm not fond of. And unfortunately, I've known some of those people. you know? Some presumption, but also some real, like I've been in entertainment field before. I was a yo-yo guy, so I wasn't like, you know, at the top of the heap. But some of the people in that realm, you know, people who steal acts and steal jokes and just, you know, will shank you the first chance they get to get where they want to go. There's always a karmic repercussion for them, whatever karma may be. There's always something that will come back to them eventually. It just always happens that way. And I would rather deal with this energy, especially this energy, which is based upon doing the best. You have to go with your feelings. You have to go with what feels true to you, especially in this. Because the elementals, whom I believe in very strongly, man, they're part of it and they're watching. They're experiencing. They know what you do because they are part of what you do. And you may think you fool them, and you may think that it's great to live high on the proverbial hog, on their nickel, but I assure you it's not a good idea. Okay, there's my soapbox right there. Now, to say that the wands are all about enterprise and blah, 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 that's just not fair to people who want to read. But let's talk about what those things represent, what they represented originally. Well, these represented the four major divisions of society. And at one time, the wands represented the nobility, the noble class, because they had big sticks. You know, they were the staffs of the nobility. That's that. So they had lots of money. They were landowners. And they walked around with their staffs and said, oh, there we are. And were they the most powerful people? Not necessarily. Sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. Okay, the next one, we have the cups. Who are the cups? Well, the cups were representative of the clergy because the cup was the grail. And so the grail could be just as simple as going to church on Sunday and drinking the wine. It could also be the grail. So there is a mixture of ideas there. Were they the most powerful people? Sometimes they were. Absolutely. Sometimes they weren't. Absolutely. Okay? Sometimes. The swords. The swords, well, they represented the military class. And were they the most powerful people? Usually. Interestingly enough, in history, usually the swords represented might makes right. Which is kind of a shame, don't you think? That the guys with the swords, the guys with the armies, that they were so necessary in society that oftentimes they were the ones that everyone depended upon. They'd go around and, well, cavort and do whatever they wanted to because everyone was terrified to say no to them. And if the emperor didn't have the power of the army behind him, then he didn't rule. Does that sound familiar? I guess it does. That's the way it kind of goes. And it doesn't take much to curry that favor in certain times. All it takes sometimes... shut up, Mo. No politics today. Shut up, Mo. So, and so we look at the swords, and they're usually pretty difficult in Tarot because, well, because there exists a thing as war and coercion and, you know, that sort of thing. All right. And then we have discs, which represents the merchant class. And of course, that also brings in everybody else who works for a living. So, that's what those represent. Now, in magic, it's a very different thing. The wands represent fire, right? That makes sense because wands are made out of wood and wood burns, but also in wands represent the wand, the magic wand, which is used for invocation and evocation. All right? In other words, to bring things in, and another one to banish them. The cups, well, they represent part of magic as well. Lots of things going on with cups. But, because what you do is you charge liquids with a cup, and then you imbibe the liquid to bring it into you. It's kind of a big deal. Swords, daggers, also part of the invocation. Some people do blood magic. Not a good idea. I never, ever, ever have subscribed to that. Some people still do blood magic. I think that they are certainly overdoing it, over-dramatizing it. It's not necessary. For those of you who have done it or still do it, that's good for you, but not in my book. There are many things that can be done. Instead, like putting a dagger into a bag of rice. That's certainly a powerful thing to do. Sometimes doing such in the right way can cause lightning, but that's a different story and actually a completely different modality. We're talking about Buddhism there, but that's different. And the discs represent the platen in church, where, we have the host, and it does that in magic as well. That's where the cakes are put, the light cakes, and then they're eaten, and blah, 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 blah. And it's all, in my opinion, hokum, to a certain extent, because magic occurs where? In the mind. All magic occurs in the mind. Crowley tells us that. He says that. But he also liked the big show as well, because it's how he managed to survive. That's a long story. So Tarot uses these elemental... Remember, Tarot was invented long before it was encoded. Right? Just remember that. So let's talk about the royalty today. I really want to get to the royalty and talk about them, because this will help you in your readings. All of this is good enough. All of this is good enough when talk about Tarot and elementals and blah, 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 blah. But what about doing a reading? How does this help you? Well, one of the great conundrums in reading Tarot, and it certainly was for me for a long time, is the concept of the royalty. Are the royalty people? They can be. They don't have to be. As a matter of fact, honestly, they rarely are. The royalty cards represent stages of energy. They qualify things. They qualify a situation, something happening. It's coming into being. It's going out of being, perhaps. It is a situation that is either happening or not happening or coming or going, and that's up to you. Do you know what's happening? Well, that's where the royalty can really, really clarify things. So let's discuss that a bit. First of all, as I happened to mention, I'll just reiterate that in many tarot decks, there's a king and a queen and a princess and a page. Or it's a prince, I'm sorry, a prince and a page, right? That is not how it should be in the classic tarot system, but it was hidden for quite a while. The hiding of it was, you don't have to hide it anymore. It's a knight, a queen, and a princess, and a prince who is going to leave the hive and go and find a princess of another gene group, and that way he spreads his seed from his gene group into another. It's much healthier. But the point of that is to say that if you read Prince, and I mean, if you read page and prince and, king and queen, that's fine. Don't worry about that. Just do what you're doing. There is no wrong as long as you know what you're up to. Okay? That's all. So here's the deal. All the knights or the kings are the fiery part of their suit. Very simple. So every knight or king in the deck, so the Knight of Wands, which is fire, right, is the fiery part of fire. That's as hot as it gets. So if you're thinking about, someone, let's say you ask a question about someone at work, and you want to know about their temperament, and you pull the Knight of Wands, or the King of Wands, and you say, what is this guy like? Boom. Or this woman like? Boom. Fiery part of fire. Well, there you've got an answer. This person is extremely fiery. Is this someone you want to, screw over? Not that you would, but it's just a moot question. The answer would be probably not. Because when you think about the fiery part of fire, what is the fiery part of fire? What is the hottest part of fire? Is it the flame? No, it isn't actually. It's the plasma above the flame. That's where you get burned the worst. I used to be kind of a little mini pyro when I was a kid. I used to love to play with fire because it fascinated me. You know, matches and those types of things. And finally, my parents said, that is it. That's enough. No more lighters, no more, And then I grew up and then it was better. And I used pipes and cigars and, cigarettes and Tipperillos and whatever. Yeah. I smoked for quite a while. And then I quit. I haven't smoked in over 30 years. Don't miss it. One day I just quit. That was it. Done. I don't want any more. Don't want any more. Made my brother very upset when he wanted to have a cigar with me. And I said, well, thank you. That is so kind of you. He had cigars from Cuba and I wouldn't smoke with him. And he was like, come on, I got all these from Cohibas from Cuba. I said, I'm sorry, I don't smoke anymore. I don't want one at all. And he was very, I felt snubbed. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't care. I should have, I guess, but ugh. Anyway. When you make your mind up, when you got your druthers, then. Anyway, so the fiery part of fire. And that's where you say that it's not fire itself. It's the point that will incinerate you without even getting close to the flame. And you start thinking this way. So, for instance, Crowley uses in his book the same thinking of a snake. The earthy part of a snake is that it crawls upon the ground. Right? The airy part of a snake is the way it hisses. That's more like it. The fiery part of a snake is its venom, the bite and its venom. And the watery part of the snake is its undulation, its undulate way of movement. And you think, oh, so that's what it's about. That's what this concept of elemental force is. And you begin thinking about that in everything. What is it all about? And your mind begins to bother you in the middle of the night when you wake up and think, well, what is the elementalism in of television, let's say? You have all the colors of the rainbow. Well, wait a minute, what is a rainbow? And you think, well, if you look at 777 and you look at a rainbow, that's Sagittarius. And you think, well, why is Sagittarius the rainbow? And you think, well, because Sagittarius is fire, right? It's a fire sign. And you think, but what is it about that? And you think, and eventually you come to this idea that it's next to Scorpio. But there's something about that, and you bust your brain for a while, and eventually it begins to make sense to you that it does make sense that it should be a rainbow there. And you see mountains with Sagittarius, and you think, why? And then you see the centaur of Sagittarius, and you understand why Sagittarius was the teacher of the heroes. And you understand why he was injured. And you get all these mythologies in your head. And it all begins to make incredible sense when you study this stuff. You let your mind wander. And the wandering brings you to answers. Anyway, I'm getting off track. So all queens are the watery part of their suit. So the watery part of fire is the Queen of Wands. When you think about that, and you think about that, what is the watery part of discs? The watery part of the earth? The watery part of the earth? Well, that would be the Queen of Discs. What is the watery part of the earth? Well, that would be all the oases and the underground wells. Without that, we would die. That's fresh water, right? Oh my God, that's important, isn't it? What's the fiery part of the earth? What's the fiery part of the earth? To me, the fiery part of the earth, the Knight of Wands, that's the sudden violent action of the earth, earthquakes maybe, right? Would you say maybe? I don't necessarily consider it volcanoes because to me, maybe that's, I don't know, that would be the earthy, I don't know what that would be, the watery part of fire, lava. Does that make sense? The watery part of fire would be lava? That makes sense to me. That's Pele, you see. And in my deck, that's what it is. It's a volcano and lava coming down off, and you can see her face in it. You can see her in it. See, that's how I designed my deck, to show those elemental forces. Then we have, see, it's kind of weird how you go into these weird thoughts. And the airy part of every element, the airy part of every element is the prince. The prince. Okay? And the prince then, the airy part. So you think, what is the airy part of fire? What is the airy part of air? What is the airy part? Expansion, wouldn't you say? Airy part of air, the airy part of earth. Well, that would be space between things. Would you agree? I don't know. You have to think about that. What is the airy part of earth? To me, the airy part of earth are storms and tornadoes. You know, I love that idea. I thought about this for a long time, and I let my mind wander, and I would see things. And whatever I saw, eventually I would draw. And then the earthy part of every suit, those are the princesses, or the pages, if you will, depending upon your deck. So what that means is when you're working on something and you pull a card and it's a suit card, I mean a royalty card, well, then you can think to yourself, well, that, how do I think about that? Sometimes royalty cards can be very confusing, but not if you allow your mind to wander to this concept of elemental force. So timing can be there too. So if you see the earthy part of something, the earthy part of earth, it's not very fast. It's not very fast. So you know that something may take a while to occur. Now, I drew my earthy part of water. What's the earthy part of water? Ice, in my opinion. That's how I drew it. Well, I drew it as a hippie chick, you know. Kind of, I was thinking about Janis Joplin when I drew it, who was very earthy, but people said not easy to get to know. She and Pigpen. Pigpen was the kind of the front man of the Grateful Dead when they first started up. He played keyboards and harmonica. He was a blues singer, and they were a bluesy band in the beginning. And they were an item together. They both died at the age of 27. They broke up after a while, but they were toxic for each other. Neither one of them took acid. They both drank heavily, and it led to both their deaths. And so this is the, you know, the earthy part of water. And I think about that. And what they were very loving and open and caring, but no one could really get to know them that well. But they were all about love and caring, and they put themselves out there seemingly. But if you really take a good look, there's some pictures of Janis Joplin where you're trying to, you know, you're thinking, who was she? And you can see, I watched her back in the day being interviewed by Dick Cavett. And in that same night that she was on Cavett was her high school her high school reunion. And it was obvious that she was extremely bitter about those days. And I thought, wow, there's a lot here that you don't see in her. And that's that earthy part of water, you know, just an iceberg. But filled with, she was cool. I mean, I thought she was cool. I really liked it. I loved her voice. A lot of people don't. I was talking to someone once said, I can't stand her voice. And I thought, that's because you weren't alive yet. You weren't there. You couldn't believe the power behind that during that time. What that did, when she was Big Brother, you know. So you what you want to do is you take these cards, knowing what they are, and you say, okay, now, who is this to me? Who does this represent to me? What does this feel like to me? So, for example, in the Prince of Cups, the airy part of water, what does that represent? The mind. Because air is the mind, right? We have that mental concept, the mind. And I always think of that as kind of the airy part of the mind. You know, but emotions, right? Because the emotions are cups. Cups are emotions. They can be the water. So what about when the mind gets into our emotions? There can be fear there. And when the mind gets involved, so mine, my Prince of Cups is kind of fear-based. Not my fear, but the unknown. It's like there's this fog, and all you can really see are these hands coming through the fog on a night. You know, it's like in London, in old London, and there are these hands coming through the fog. And I did that on purpose because we have these fears, you see. So you play with this. You let your mind wander. And what does it see? What does it see? It's fascinating work, Tarot, because what it does is it scours you from the inside out. It works with you, making you really decide who you are and what you're about. You will learn about yourself if you really work with Tarot honestly. And you'll have very few hidden nooks and crannies when you're done. You won't have any, as a matter of fact. And that's what makes you a better reader. If you want to, and I don't mean just reading for people, I mean about anything. You have to lay yourself bare to be a good reader. You have to, because if you lie to yourself about yourself, what good are you as far as being able to interface with the concept of truth? You have to be able to see your truth. Are you in a relationship and you're miserably unhappy, but you're in it anyway? If that's the case and you're going to stay in it because it's more convenient than anything else, be honest about that. You can do that. Do it. Be honest about it. If you're deliriously happy, be honest about that. Do you know what happiness is? You can be the happiest person in the world in incredibly difficult and really kind of crappy circumstances. And I know that's true. You can be really, really happy in dire circumstances. It's possible. Do it. And Tarot can help you to find that place. Every time you touch the cards, it's a meditation. It's opening the door to something that is not only sacred, but is truly revelatory and unbelievably wonderful. And you don't need to have any type of mystical chanting or anything else to do it, because it's about you and something else that I can't begin to qualify or quantify. It just exists. It's something within us and without us at the same time, but incredibly powerful and mindful. Man, it got me, bam. The first time I touched a deck of cards, that was it for me. That was like, oh my God. I don't know what these cards mean, what they are, but it's got me. It's got me. And it took me a long time to get to a point where I thought I even began to understand Tarot. But I never quit. I never stopped. I never stopped trying. I never stopped working with it. And it just, you know, you don't. And the nice thing about it is, every reading you do for someone else, the cards come to the rescue. They come to the rescue. They will come to you, and they will open themselves up, and they will tell you exactly what's going on. They will help you, because they know that what you're doing is important. Don't worry about that. I knew someone once who had a book. They were a student of mine, and they had a book. And I said, you're not using that book with clients, are you? Oh, yes. I use the book. I pull a card and I go to the book. I said, do you charge the money? Yes, of course. My time is worth something. And I thought, man, oh, man. Oh, my God. And I don't know how long this person was in business. Let me tell you about someone who came to me once. I'll tell you. I had a person who came to me, was in charge of a business, and the business was quite successful. I used to do readings. And likely, likable guy. But very, you know, business orientated and believed in what I did. I gave sound advice and blah, blah, blah. Business, business, business. That mind. And eventually, I think because of business and expediency and convenience, married the accountant, right? And thought, wouldn't it be much easier and financially a better thing if my accountant / wife also read Tarot rather than going to Mo. So sent the fiance, before wife, to get Tarot lessons from me. And the wife, CPA, very smart, very nice, but very uptight. And I don't know if skeptical or not, maybe somewhat, probably very. I said something that I believe about Tarot. If you invest your time properly in this art, your life will change when you learn this. And the fiancé got very excited. And I thought, uh-oh. That was maybe a bit of an overstatement, or I said it wrong, or maybe I just wasn't, you know. But so we went through, and I taught, one-on-one. And at the end of a while, person came back and was extremely upset with me and said, in no uncertain terms, my life has not changed. This was after marriage. And I said, how do you mean? Said, my life is exactly the same. You promised me my life would change. I said, well, yeah, I did. How do you mean? And person hadn't changed at all. And I realized, I guess the point of this story, and so I said, okay, let's finish up today and call it quits. Because I didn't want to, I realized I couldn't do anything about that. When I mean that if you study Tarot, it'll change your life, is because you cannot help but change as you realize the power that it has to bring you truth. And if you see truth in the absence of what you knew before, you didn't know certain truths, it has to change you But if you don't want to see what it's telling you, then you won't change at all. There. Open up to what it wants to teach you, and trust me, you will never, ever be the same. And you will be so much better off. It certainly helped me. And I have studied things you wouldn't even begin to believe. And I don't mean that in a superior way, because there's nothing superior about it. It humbles you to so much and makes you a servant of everything you can believe. Okay. I think that's my time for this week. And I don't like going over my time. So neither do other people. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Hey, write me. Motarot at comcast.net. Or you can find me on Facebook. Same thing, Motarot, Facebook somehow. Or I still have a Facebook business account but if you write me there, I think they tell me. But I want to hear from you, okay? To let me know if I'm doing the right thing doing this or not. If not, then I won't do it anymore. Okay, I love you. And I'll be here next week if all goes well. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.